You're listening to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast, episode number 11.
But when you start listening to what's coming from the inside and how you feel and what your gut feeling is really telling you, only great things can happen.
Welcome to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast, stories of vibrant women living happy lives. And now your host, Jen Ryday.
Hi there, I'm Jen Ryday, and this is Vibrant Happy Women. On our last episode, I spoke with Amanda Teixeira about her painful struggles and the darkness she felt when she was dealing with infertility, and also the light and hope she found when she and her husband made the decision to adopt their little girl. If you haven't listened to that already, or if you know someone struggling with similar issues, go and listen to that at jenryday.com/10. Today, I'm chatting with Sarah Gilbert. Sarah is a business coach and a single mom of two, and she shares her story of finding out that her ex-husband had a gambling problem and the difficult choice she had to make to end that marriage. She is so, so strong and courageous and inspiring. You're going to find this episode so uplifting. So we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome to Vibrant Happy Women. Let's get started. I'm so excited to introduce Sarah Gilbert today. Sarah is the founder of Strategist Business Development, a firm dedicated to helping entrepreneurs build and grow their businesses. She lives in Montreal, Canada, with her two kids, ages 9 and 7, and she loves to read and rock climb. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Jen.
We'd love to start out our show with our guest's favorite quote or life motto that guides their lives. So do you have one to share with us today?
Yes. My favorite quote is one by Walt Disney. And it goes like this: all our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them.
I love that. So how have you used that in your life?
For me, the definition of courage is such an important one, where courage for me is surpassing your fears. So it's accepting that you are afraid of something and moving on, because the dream of doing it is actually higher and more important than the fear that's behind it.
So I've noticed a lot of people, when they feel afraid, will just give up. What do you tell people like that, who feel like fear is a sign that they shouldn't be doing something?
You see, I see it a completely different way. When somebody's afraid of something, and I see it day to day with my clients, and I see it on a daily basis with my kids, and obviously I live it as well. And for me, fear is a sign that you're actually in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And you only need to take one step. It's not a mountain to climb. It's just one step at a time.
One step at a time. Beautiful. So, Sarah, let's jump into our next topic, your low point. Tell us about a low point in your life, the events leading up to that, and how you were able to transition out of that. And give us as many details as you would like to share.
So mid-20s or something around there, I met the person who would then become my former husband. I thought there was going to be the man of my dream. You know, tall, handsome, smart, everything was great. From the outside, even my family, when we got married, were like, wow, this is really the Cinderella wedding. It's just picture perfect. We had big plans together of, you know, building businesses, growing, traveling. There's a lot of things. There was a lot of dreams being created, being shared, until one day, pretty much overnight, everything collapsed. In hindsight, you see things coming, but when you're actually in it, you don't want to see them. And I ended up pregnant with our second child. And at that point, I learned that my husband was gambling, and not $5,000 gambling, serious gambling problem. And since apparently misery loves company, well, he was drinking during the day and gambling instead of, you know, going to work. He was an entrepreneur, so there was no boss missing or mentioning that he wasn't there. And there I am, pregnant with our second child, 3 months, with a husband who has all these problems. Needless to say, it was an extremely challenging time. As much as I was happy to be pregnant with our daughter, I probably spent the entire 9 months just bawling my eyes out. Mm-hmm. And once you go through things like that, you know, I remortgaged the house, which was my house, to pay off the gambling debts, hoping that, you know, we could start fresh as a couple, which was kind of a dream. You know, after you kind of learn that these issues are not things, they're not issues that are solved overnight through one conversation and that's it, we move on and away we go. So when my daughter was born a few months later, well, I learned that he was gambling again. So needless to say, all the trust was gone. I knew my marriage was over. So, but I just couldn't make the call. I did not want to be the one to say this is over. Mm-hmm. So we tried the therapy, the couple therapy thing. I tried the being the nice person, supportive wife. Then I turned into the really mean wife that just couldn't handle it anymore. Until one night we were having a solid conversation and he came to walk out of the conversation. I'm like, no, we need to figure this out. And he said, I'm leaving this room because I'm going to punch your face in the wall. Mm. And for me, I had to go to that extreme to say, put my foot down and say, this is it. I've had enough. And that day, I just opened the door. That night, I opened the door. It was 11 o'clock at night. I said, you get out of here. Mm-hmm. So I ended up in my early 30s with two children, a huge mortgage that included a gambling debt. Mm. When you separate with somebody who has these kinds of issues, like he was in front of my house at 6 o'clock in the morning, I would come home from work and he would be on my front porch. You know, it comes with a lot of baggage. And he did try to come back. And I was like, you know what? I couldn't take him back. That was mm-hmm. it. But I had to go through that far down to say, this is enough. I love myself more than this. I was completely destroyed as a person. Like, people didn't even recognize who I was. My self-confidence was completely gone. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't believe that I was able to do anything, which I'm a very strong person, but I was completely destroyed.
Aww.
And so I let another year pass by. And after a year, I decided, okay, you know what? Traveling 3 hours each day to commute to downtown Montreal to go and work, because I used to live in the suburbs, I was fed up. I was like, no, this is not good for my kids. They're the first one in that daycare. They're the last one out. It's not good for my career because I'm the last one in the office, the first one out of the office. I have to move. And you know, when you put your foot down and then the universe says, yes, this is it. Mm-hmm. On the Saturday, I signed my house up to be sold. I opened the newspaper I found an ad for a place to rent exactly in the neighborhood where I've always wanted to live. Mm. So in the same Saturday, I was able to find the place where I want to live. On the Monday, when the real estate agent put the sign up for sale, my house sold within 24 hours.
Wow.
I found a place exactly with all the requirements that I wanted in the neighborhood where I've always wanted to live. And I just plunged and I moved.
Yeah, you took that step, like you mentioned before. Even though you were afraid, you took the step and the universe answered.
That's it. I was completely afraid and I felt terrible because I was removing my children from everything that they've already knew, you know, the mm-hmm. neighborhoods, their friends. They were young kids. They were 2 and 4 by then, and brought them in an area. I didn't even have a daycare for them or anything, but I was like, you know what? I've got to do this. I have to move. And 6 months after that, I gave in my resignation for my job.
Whoa, lots of changes.
Yes, which was not planned, because in my head, my plan to start my business was supposed to be when I was 40 years old. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there yet. I was 5 years ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I tendered my resignation, my boss was like, are you mad? He knew I was going through a nasty divorce, that I was young, that I was there with two kids, and that I had all the financial obligations. And I was like, you know what? I have to do this. So was it scary? Of course I was terrified.
So you said you have to do this. Where did that knowledge come from?
You just feel it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I want to say to a lot of people is just trust the intuition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, selling the house, putting the husband outside, like kicking the husband out, leaving the job were just things that my body was telling me, you have to do this. And when you listen to the intuition, only great things happen.
So how were you able to let go of the concerns of what other people would think when you're following your intuition and doing these great, you know, your boss said you're mad. How do you ignore those things and have the courage?
You just trust life.
Trust life.
Which is one of the hardest things to do when you're not totally connected with yourself. But when you start listening to what's coming from the inside and how you feel and what your gut feeling is really telling you, only great things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's always looking, okay, what is my intent behind it and how do I feel about it? Am I doing it for the right reason? If it's not, then it's not going to work out. But if you're doing it for the right reason and your intuition is saying, you know what, jump. And I have a strong core belief that jump and the net will appear.
Mm. So you jumped, but before you jumped, you kind of had lost yourself. Your friends and family could barely recognize what had happened to you. You'd lost mm-hmm. your self-confidence. So you jumped. And how did you change from that point on as a person?
I took the time to really try to figure out, because it's a journey, who I was and what do I want to create. So at one point, I actually sat down and said, okay, well, what do I want to create? Not only as a business, but as a life. What do I want to create? You know, and like there's some great exercises where you do your eulogy. So in the end, what do I want to be remembered for? And that, for me, was a life-changing exercise because I did not want to be known for somebody who just lived by what you're supposed to do in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, you know what? If that's how I want to be, if that's how I want to be remembered, then I need to step up, take my courage, and just jump.
So you became a business consultant or a business coach?
When I started my business, I was more of a business consultant. Mm-hmm. So I still kept in the industry that I knew that I had been in 15 years. So I didn't change everything overnight. I still kept some comfort zone. And like I would put my kids to bed at, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock and work every single night whenever they would go see their dad, which was not a lot, but whenever they did, I would work
mm-hmm.
to be able to provide. And, you know, funny enough, there's a lot of people nowadays who ask me like, how did you keep that focus? And for me was when I did work at night, at one point I would always go see my children sleeping. And that brought me back to, why am I doing? I want a better life for myself, but I want a better life for them. And I want them to know, to be proud of who their mother is. And for me, that's always been a driving force.
How long have you had your own business?
We're going on 6 years now.
Nice.
You know? And the business has changed. It's evolving and it's changing. And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. So has there ever been a time when you jumped and the net you expected wasn't there for you, but something else presented itself?
Very, very often, you know. There's things that there's mandates that I took. There's clients that I approached. There's clients that I took on that I was hoping it would go a certain way, and it didn't go. You know, there's mm-hmm. many team members, well, several team members that I brought on board where I was hoping that, you know, they would be the right one. They weren't.
Mm-hmm. But then you adjust and...
That's it. You know, you adjust and you just need to be okay with it as long as you're moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Taking each step, step by step.
Yes. And focusing on what do I want to create?
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, along the path, you meet people and sometimes things work out. Sometimes they don't. And, you know, I find that the difference between somebody who has mediocre success and somebody has great success is how fast do you get up once you fall down? Somebody who has great success gets up way faster than somebody who has mediocre success. And that applies to everything in life.
So tell me more about how you're living a vibrant, happy life today. Aside from your business, what does a happy, vibrant life look like on the personal level?
On a personal level, I have two children that I absolutely adore. I have a great business, but my business is not everything. So I am the mother who hands out the pizza lunch at school, who volunteers, who goes to the outings, who's coaching the soccer teams for the kids. I make sure that my priorities and my values are in the right order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and taking care of my body is also something that's very important. And for me, doing sport is really, really important. So all my clients know that if you're looking for me on a Wednesday afternoon, I'm hanging on a rock climbing wall somewhere.
Yes.
I make sure that I reserve time for me.
Yeah. And that's not easy as a single mom, is it?
You know what? It's easy once you commit. Once you decide, it becomes way easy. I find that people, a lot of, you know, people say, oh, it must be hard. It's hard when you think that it's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. It's very simple when you believe things are going to be simple. The day that I decided, you know what, every Wednesday I'm going rock climbing, I'm no longer working Wednesday afternoon. At first I was like, how am I going to do it? And you know what? Everything just finds its place.
That is great. It's triggering my mind. What kind of hobbies have I been wanting to do? And when can I schedule those? Thanks for that. Yes.
And you know, that's something that I say to a lot of my clients. And it was funny, like yesterday I have a client who's calling me just being so happy. He's like, Sarah, now I've decided that every Friday I'm going golfing.
Mm.
I'm like, how easy was that? He goes, that was easy.
Sarah, is there anything else about your vibrant, happy life that you want to tell us before we move on to our favorite things portion of the interview?
I make sure that every day I do something that makes me happy. And sometimes it can just be have a cup of tea, but every day do one little thing for me that I love. And we often forget to take care of ourselves, especially as women. We'll take care of everyone else, then we go last. If you take care of yourself, then you're in a better position to take care of other people.
So, Sarah, let's move into our talking about some of your favorite things. Do you have a favorite easy meal that you like to eat regularly?
Yes, I'm a big fan of green juice.
Oh, green juice.
Oh, yes, green juice is a household item at my place. Even my kids absolutely love green juice. You know, it wouldn't go anywhere without my Vitamix, I think. And you know what? I eat quinoa for breakfast.
Quinoa. Okay.
Yes.
Do you juice fresh every morning?
Pretty much every morning or every other morning.
And what's your favorite juicing combo?
Oh, there's so many, but one of my definitely favorite, it will be kale, apple, mango, and coconut oil, because there's coconut oil in every single smoothie that I do.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yes, and coconut oil is super healthy, so mm-hmm. I always put a tablespoon in every smoothie that I do, you know?
Mm. Yum.
But yeah, and it's funny because sometimes I'll do, actually, if I do a morning meeting with clients or if I even sometimes when I do a morning conference, I will show up with my green juice.
Yum. Sarah, share a favorite personal habit that contributes to your success.
Making lists.
Ah, lists. Me too.
Making lists, but prioritizing my lists. So I will, and this is actually even a habit that I do with my kids on weekends, where everything that we need to do, I always separate it into three categories: must do, should do, and a wish list.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So it's not just having a to-do list to have a to-do list. I actually prioritize my to-do list. So I really focus on what must be done.
Give us some examples of must do's, should do's, and wish list items that you've had.
On a regular business day, I will have, you know, must-dos for things that I need to do for clients, should-dos, things that I want to do for the business, and wish lists are often marketing projects that I would really, really like to do because they would be really fun, but they're not mandatory right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if I don't categorize them, I would probably start by the fun and the fun marketing strategy, but I would end up my day saying, oh, shoot, but I didn't do this, this, and this, and this for a client.
Right. And how would that list, how would that prioritization work at home with your daughters?
With my children, we actually make the list of everything that we want to do for the weekend. So we need to go grocery shopping. We need to go to do the laundry. That goes in the must, because mm-hmm. they know now that that goes in the must. But we want to go see a movie. Well, that might go in the wish list.
Mm-hmm.
And should would be something like, oh, we should be cleaning out our summer clothes.
Oh yeah.
It's not mandatory. We can still wait. But we actually must do the groceries, the laundry, and the cleaning of the house. So they actually like it because we have a whiteboard on our fridge. And whenever we actually complete something, they get to scratch it off.
Nice.
Which on a neuroscience component, it actually is very good for the brain. It's actually very motivating for the brain.
To cross things off on a list?
Yes.
I haven't heard that before.
Yes, and it's very fascinating because once you start doing it, it's crossing things off of a list, you find yourself adding things to the list just to be able to cross them off.
Oh, okay. This is great because I love to-do lists, and sometimes I'm consumed by them to the point where I'm not doing some of the things I should be doing because I'm working on a list. But yeah, it's all neuroscientifically beneficial. So now I'm going to feel okay about that.
Yes, totally, totally, you know. But and like my hack, quote unquote, is definitely having it as a must-do, should-do, or wish list. That completely transformed the way that I do my days, that I do, that I complete my weeks. And it's something that I share with all of my clients. And it's like the first few times you do it, your brain's like, whoa, what is this? You know, because everything should be in the must. And it really brings you to make sure that you do first things first.
What's your current favorite household possession?
Right now, I'm not one who owns a lot of things. I live a very, very simple life in terms of materials. But I'm currently reading a book by John Maxwell, which is a tiny, tiny book, and it's called Jumpstart Your Thinking. And I carry that book all around. It's a 90-day thinking plan where every day there's kind of a challenge question, and I carry it all the time.
And it's called Jumpstart Your
Thinking.
Jumpstart Your Thinking.
Yes. And seriously, it's something that I absolutely love. And it's making me expand my thinking to the point where there's things, there's business projects I wanted to do that I don't want to do anymore. There's a team member I wanted to bring, I don't want to bring on board. It's really, really close to my heart, you know, and it's a 90-day thinking plan. And I know that after the 90 days will be done, I will redo the 90 days all over again.
That's great. So tell me more about, you said you're not one that has a lot of possessions. Tell me more about that mindset and how you got to that place. Because it sounds like before you had a large house with a big mortgage.
Yes. Sold everything. when I had my house, I moved from the suburbs to the city, and in terms of square footage, it's probably a third of the square footage. And like my children each had their room. Now they share one room, sold half of everything that I owned. And for us, living in a smaller square footage has brought us so much closer mm-hmm. as a family. I need space. I need things to be simple. I need things to be, you know, cleaned out. So for me, every time that I buy something new, something else has to go out. Mm. So I have this one in, one out policy. And this applies to pretty much everything. Let it be clothes, let it be household items or things like that. One thing comes in, something else goes out. And that's how I make sure that our house is also not cluttered.
Yeah. And they say everything you own takes a piece of your energy.
Yes. When there's like a lot of things, I can't deal with it. Like I don't do well in clutter. Mm-hmm. So for me, that one in, one out policy is very, very beneficial. And at the same time, you know, for us, I teach my kids, you know, like now it's time for us to pay it forward and go and give it to someone else.
Yeah. You're making me want to sell my house and go live in a small apartment with my six children. It would be the best.
You know, like, and I, like a few months ago, I was talking to my kids and I'm like, well, we'll move into, you know, a bigger home where you can each have your room. And both of them started crying. They're like, no, we love this house. We love that we're close. And anyways, we don't even need the entire footage. And both of them started crying. They're like, no, we like this house.
So you're staying put?
We are staying put, according
to
them.
Good. So tell us a favorite item on your bucket list.
There's a lot of things on my bucket list. But on my bucket list, they're all experiences. So none of them are material things. Mm-hmm. But definitely on my bucket list, there's volunteering in Africa.
Ooh.
It's something that I wanted to do since as long as I remember as a child that I've wanted to do. So that is, you know, my children are 7 and 9 right now. So they're a little bit young to go and do it. So, you know, I'm giving ourselves a few years to do it. But that one is pretty up there in our bucket list.
So do you have a particular country in mind?
It's probably going to be in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, I'm leaving it open. Because that was my vision when I was 14 years old. That was my vision, was to go and volunteer in Ethiopia. And it never happened yet. And it was kind of a dream where I said, oh, well, you know, it's never going to happen. And a few months ago, I said, you know what? No, it hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm. Yet.
You know, yet.
Oh, that yet. That can help us have the courage to keep stepping forward because it's just not happening yet. Ooh.
Yes. Because, you know, because I'm also an NLP certified coach, and in there you understand a lot the power of the language that you use and the words that you use. So for me, just bringing that yet to it was, you know what, I will dust off that dream and it will happen.
And say again, what kind of coach are you? You said it very quickly. I missed it.
I'm an NLP coach, neuro-linguistic programming.
Oh, NLP. Okay.
NLP coach, yes. So in there, we study a lot the power of the word and the power of the beliefs that we have.
Tell us a little more about that. How do our words affect our thoughts?
Well, the words that you say to yourself, because we all have a voice in our head. You know, we talk to ourselves constantly. Everyone does it. Some people think that they're the only ones doing it, but no. You know, rest assured, absolutely everyone talks. But the way that you talk to yourself has a big impact on the way that, on your behavior. So sometimes just changing the way that you talk to yourself are going to change the belief systems that you have in place and will actually, in return, change your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of focusing on what's not working right now and talking to yourself and your dialogue in your head saying, what's not, why isn't this working, why isn't this working, changing your pattern and saying, well, how could this work? How could I make this happen? How could I make this a reality? So changing from why isn't this working to how could this work changes everything in our mindset. And then we actually open to a world of opportunities and possibilities. And that will definitely change our behavior, because if I'm focused on the problem, say, oh, why is this not working, then I'm focusing on the problem. The only thing that I'm seeing is the problem. When I'm opening to, how could I make this happen? Or what would need to happen to make this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Then in my mindset, I will believe that I can do it. And in my behavior, if I believe I can do it, I will do it.
Mm. So essentially finding the most positive can-do attitude or words that will help you do something, help you move forward.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly. So changing how you're saying things to yourself in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. And then that literally changes your behavior as well.
Yes, because then you start believing that you can do it. And we all know that if you believe you can do it, you can.
Right. Yes, I'm kind of reminded of the story of the 4-minute mile. For years and years, no one thought that they could break that. But once one person broke the 4-minute mile limit, everyone else did too, because it was finally possible.
And it was the only question of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so once you understand the concept of changing your language to change your belief, to change your mindset, which will change your behavior, this impacts a lot of the decisions that you do, that you take on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Neuro-linguistic programming for our listeners who want to learn more about that.
Oh, yes. And, you know, there's even an easy book that's called Neuro-linguistic NLP for Dummies, which is a fantastic book, short book, very concise, where everyone can actually learn the basics of NLP and how it works, how our mindset works, how the different neural associations can be done and are being done in your brain, which impacts your behavior. So NLP for Dummies is also a great book for that.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I will include links to the books you talked about and some of the other things you said in our show notes page at jenwrighte.com/11. And then back to a couple of other favorite things questions, Sarah. What's the best advice you've ever received?
One of my mentors here in Montreal, at one point we were talking and I was saying, yes, well, you know, the sky's a limit. And he looked at me and goes, why would you even put the sky as a limit? And for me, that changed everything.
That's amazing.
That's it. There is no limit. You know, so in our words, in the things that we say ourselves, if we think everyone thinks, oh, this guy's a limit, there is no limit. But no, you are putting a limit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the best piece of advice. And I keep on repeating myself, not even the sky's a limit.
Mm-hmm.
So
looking back on your life so far, share your happiest memory.
Definitely after having my children, that's definitely first, but jumping and starting my own business, because for me, that was taking a dream and putting it into reality.
Mm-hmm.
Walk my talk.
No limits.
No limits. And just saying, you know, and there was people who didn't believe in me and say, well, you know what, look at that, give her a year or two and then she'll be back, you know, in corporate and this whole consulting thing won't work. And now I'm able to look at them and say, see, watch me now.
Watch me.
Yeah, it's like, you know, tell me no, watch me go.
tell me no, watch me go. Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Ooh, I love that. Strong, strong woman.
That's a very, very proud moment. Proud, proud moment.
Good for you. Good job. Sarah, our final but most important question. If you had to create a 3 to 5 part formula of beliefs or actions or ideas that contribute to your happiness, what would that include?
Well, you know what? Here I'll share something that I have been putting that I tell my kids every single night when I put them to bed. And it's something that I have pinned on my wall in my office. Have passion, take action, magic happens.
Ooh, you are the woman of quotes today. I love it.
For me, quotes are things that, you know, they inspire me. Some of them I've taken, but like that last one, for example, is something that I wrote, and it's something that keeps me focused. And you know what? Whenever we do something great at home or an accomplishment that I do in my personal life or my professional life, I always come back to that one.
So Sarah, tell us where we can find you online, and then share that quote one more time and we'll say goodbye.
Okay. So everyone can find me on my website. My website is strategist.cc for corporate coaching. I'm on social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. You can definitely find me most on LinkedIn. So Sarah Gilbert, you can look me up there. And my favorite quote that everyone should consider, listen to it and appropriate, have passion, take action, magic happens.
We'll leave it right there. Thanks so much for being on the show, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Vibrant Happy Women podcast today. And be sure to join us next time as I chat with Whitney Lang and she shares her story of coping with anxiety and depression and how she's able to find joy despite her struggles. Take care and make it a great, great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Vibrant Happy Women podcast at www.jenryday.com.